Glory to God. Let's proceed. We're still discussing on the same thing.
Oh, not related. The church, the local church, and me.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So, in the new birth, we are members of Christ's body. We are members of Christ's body.
Oh, take a quote by Pastor Shemu.
He says, the body of Christ is the victorious person of Christ.
Is the victorious person of Christ.
Hallelujah. So,
a quick recap of something I said earlier. Christ is, Jesus is the church, right? And we are identified in Him by the new birth, right? We all together identify with Him by the new birth, right? Okay, quickly.
Ephesians chapter 1. We saw this earlier. Verses 23. I mean verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22. It says, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now when he uses the word head, what does it mean? Or use the word head.
Now that's where we are going to. You know, some people want to say a head, and is this, and is that. I'm his grey hair, I'm his white hair, I'm his shoe, I'm his leg, I'm his right palm.
No. When he uses the word head, when he says Jesus is the head of the church,
remember we said Jesus is not part of the church. He is the church. You understand? So when he says he is the head of the body.
Now, this will actually help
because it will scatter that picture you have in your that you are thinking of a human being and the head is Jesus, the body is, it will destroy it now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when he says he is the head, it means, that word head means source.
When you hear the word head, that word head means he's the source.
Just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said,
the head of Christ is God. When it says God is the head of Christ, it means it is the source. That's the word source.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when it says he's the head, it means he's the source of the body. Head is used for source, not a member. So, Jesus is not a member. He's not a member of the body. He is the source, right? He's the source.
He is the body itself. The other than we have just identified him.
Glory to God. He's the body himself, we're identifying him. So when he now says all authority has been given to me.
When he uses the word all authority has been given to me in Matthew 28, he says all authority has been given to me. That means that authority is for his body. Right? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That authority is for his body, and the authority is in his body. So our identification makes us have access to that authority. Do you understand that?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because when he said all authority has been given to me in the resurrection, at that point he is the body.
He is the church in the resurrection. Are you following me? When all authority has been given to me, he is the friend of the church. So our identification with him together makes us the church, right? Makes that identification is called church. So we now have access to that authority. So that's why we can say the authority of Christ is in the believer because of that identification.
Are you following me?
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So this will not help us read again that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27. You're rounding off. I've said that the third time, right? I'm getting to the end. Getting there. First Corinthians. Chapter 12, verse 28. Look at that in 7. It says, now you are members of his body. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Look at verse 28. And God has appointed this in the church. Do you get that? God has appointed this in the church. First, apostles, second, prophets. Let's leave that. We'll get to look at that. Say, God has appointed this in the church. So verse 27 into 28 shows you that when it says God has set in the body, it implies that the body is united. God has achieved this in the body. He has set this in place in the body. God has made it so. He has brought forth unity in the body. Are you hearing me? God is not going to unite the church. He has done it. Hallelujah. God has done it in the person of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we can say the church of Christ is in its perfect state. Perfect state. You know, there are some people who will say we are looking for unity of the church, or the church needs to be united. Let's pray for the church of God to be united. You know, they miss the big picture. They miss the big picture. They are confusing the physical gathering for the united church. Hallelujah. The church of Christ is united. God is not trying to unite his church. His church is united. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the person of Christ. God has made, see, the church of Christ is in his perfect state. Oh God, come and unite your church. Oh God, come on. Because they see the fact that either some denominations have some issues and things like that. We'll get to look at that. We'll get to look at all those things in this study. But that does not nullify what has happened in the person of the church. Whether big or small, Jews or Greek, we are one. You are united. Hallelujah. See, after me, the church of Christ is in the perfect state.
Church of Christ is in the perfect state.
Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 5, 22 to 32. I guess this is where we will now say, Ephesians 5. We'll continue next week. Ephesians 5, 22. But the scripture will shall be explained. Ephesians 5, 22. It's a long reading, so it will be explained as we read. But verse 22 into 32. Are you ready for us to move? Okay, let's go. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wife, just as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for her. You know, some people think Paul is doing relationship seminar. No, it's not relationship seminar. Wait and see. Read to the end. So some people just jump in and say, wives!
And then God is saying, you know, if you understand our place in this marriage, we will not have problem. My role is to love you. Your role is to submit.
So if you understand our place, just know your place.
Just submit. That's just your place. I will love you. Just submit. That is what you, where what happens when you cherry pick scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the guy will now be behaving like Lord of the Ring. Hallelujah. So you know, even Paul was teaching marriage Bible. Paul would just shout, yeah! No life on my head. Because that was not what he was teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead. We're in verse 26, yes. That he, 25, it says, husband, love your wife just as, you see, you always put Christ there. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So, husband, can you do this? That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, that he should be holy and without blemish. I've heard a man said something like this to his wife. He said, on that day, I will present my wife to the Lord. Are you ready?
He wished he has watched that. He said, no, that day, I'm going to be presenting my wife to the Lord. To present how? When? Is that ministry?
That is what lack of understanding of scripture will cause. I'll present her.
Then the Lord will ask you, where is your wife? You have been looking for your wife.
You are nowhere. You think we are acting WAP TV? You're not serious. Glory to God. You see, you have to be serious as a believer. Be serious. Okay, verse 29. Okay, verse 28 rather. So husband ought to love. So the husband ought to love their wife, all of their own, love their own wife as their own body. He who does not love his wife, he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, just as the Lord does the church. 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Look at the next thing. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Question. People say this in their marriage vow. Question. Husband and wife are one flesh. At least I'm here teaching. My wife is there with baby.
She's fair. I am black. Are we one flesh? It is clear that we are not one flesh. It's clear. My genotype is different from my own. It's clear. Marriage is not united our genotype.
We are one flesh. We are getting there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where was he teaching from? When he says, shall a man leave his father and mother and be clear to us? He's reading Genesis.
Hallelujah. Genesis 2:24. Let's quickly rush down to Genesis 2:24. Let's see that.
Genesis 2:24. So he's trying to explain Genesis to us. Or he's explaining Genesis to us, not trying to. He's explaining Genesis to us. Genesis 2:24. Look at that. Was talking to. On some of us, then the Lord caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs. And he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from him, from man, he made unto a woman. And he brought her to him. And Adam said, is it the Lord that said?
No.
Adam said, this is now bone of my bone. And flesh of my flesh. And you shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Take note of that. We are coming there. 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Which father and mother did Adam leave? Answer. Now, which father and mother did Adam leave? Can you now see there's a problem with your theology? Hallelujah. But let's go back and see. I'm not going deep. Because if you want to go deep, go to understanding the gospel. We've explained that well. Hallelujah. Remember before then he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. So you have to understand where it's coming from. You read before, I say, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him and help me. Help me is not referring to a woman. Help me is referred to the word Azar, meaning a savior. I'll make for man a savior. But let's go back to Paul. Let's stay with Paul today. We'll continue. We'll look at that much more next week. Hallelujah. We'll go back to Adam next week. But let's look at Paul, because we are rounding up. Hallelujah. Let's look at Paul. Let's stay with Paul. Right? Ephesians 5. That's where we are. Now, verse 31, I want to read it again. Let's read 31 to 32, so that your eyes will drop. That's one again. He said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. It is in this part of the culture, it is part of the country, that a man leaves his father and mother, right, and be joined to his wife.
No, this part of the country, what am I saying? The man does not leave to be joined to his wife. It's the wife that leaves to be joined to the husband.
Right? Are you the one leaving? So read your Bible well. Hallelujah. I'll be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This has never happened in the whole of human history. Verse 32. This is a great. Is a great. But I speak. Meaning, he's telling you, don't confuse it. Don't miss it. Don't throw ball. Don't throw penalty into throwing. Look at it well. I speak concerning Christ and the
church.
Before you begin to say, me and my wife, we are one flesh. She said, hey, watch it. Don't throw it. Don't miss it. Because I speak concerning Christ and the church. So before you begin to teach my seminar from here, first of all, he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So what Paul is teaching is identification. That we are one flesh. Say we are members of his flesh and of his bones. It tells us about our identification, our union with Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it is this union that we cannot portray as hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul is not teaching marriage seminar, he's teaching the identification. In fact, if you begin to read from verse 1, you will understand that he's talking about identification. We're talking about the church. So when you now jump, you see that is why it's not good to read scripture out of context. You begin to read, my wife is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. We are one bones. It's not only one bones. The skin bone, we are. Can you say we are one bones? How? Amen.
Amen.
So, the same way, now, what Paul is writing is, this is what Moses did. You know, Paul is reworking our minds concerning Moses. He said, this is what Moses did in writing about Adam and Eve. He's writing it in such a way that Eve came out of Adam. So that was what Moses wanted you to see. What Moses wrote concerning Adam and Eve was for you to see salvation. So he now writes for you to see that Eve came out of Adam. So therefore, the church will come out of Christ. Did you get that? Amen. Hallelujah. So you write in such a way so that you will see that the source of Eve is Adam, the source of the church is Christ. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. So that is why so Paul is reworking our minds concerning Moses, making us see this is what Moses is writing about. So don't see marriage seminar, see Christ and the church. Are you hearing me? Don't see marriage seminar, see Christ, see the church, see the church, see the church. Don't see it, it's the church. It's Christ. It's the union he's writing about. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So, he wants you to see that Jesus, that the church came out of Christ the same way Eve came out of Adam. Matthew 19. Jesus will say the same thing. Matthew 19 verse 8. Matthew 19 verse 8. They came to him, verses 4. Let's start from verse 4. And he said to him, I want you to be there. Matthew 19, verse 4. They came to him, verses 3. And he came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any just any reason?
Is it lawful for divorce?
And he answered and said to them, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. What is he quoting?
He's quoting Genesis.
Are you hearing me? They came to him with what? The law. Are you following me? They came to him with the law. What the law says. And it says, before you get to the law, before you begin to read types and shadows, right? What did he say? Something was said that was not believed.
before it was prefigured. Are you following me?
So he said, in the beginning, he that made them in the beginning made them male and female. And he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus quoted the same thing Paul quotes. Hallelujah. Verse 6. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Is this marriage?
No.
What has God joined together?
Christ and the church.
Hallelujah. What has God joined together? Christ and the church.
1 Corinthians.
Put your hands here. Put your hands here. Roll down to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Fast. Verse 16. Are you there? He said, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So what has God joined together?
The church and himself. That identification is what God joined together.
It's not husband and wife.
Who joined husband and wife together? Priest in the church. Lawyer in the law. Pastor in the church. That's what joined. They're looking at me. That's the truth. But what does God join? So that's marriage. I want you to see something. That marriage that you see that goes on in the earth is a, how should I put it? Is a reflection of what has happened to the church. What has happened to us in Christ. That's the best way I can put it for now.
Hallelujah. For now. Which I know I can still say something better concerning it. Hallelujah.
I am the glory to God.
So what is done in the marriage seminar and what have you has called marriage is a shadow of the real marriage. The real marriage or the real marriage, I'm not saying it like a woman. The real marriage is Christ and the church. So the shadow is what husband and wife do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he said, what God has joined together, Matthew 19, let's go back there. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Look at verses 8. Okay, verse 7. He now said, then why did Moses now command a certificate of divorce to put her away? Look at what he now says in verse 8. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. That's the Greek word, klerokardia, which is unbelief. Moses, because of your unbelief, permits you to divorce your wife. But from the beginning, it was not so.
Look at what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not talking about physical marriage. He has made you see that in verse 5. Can you see? So, he's not telling you, Moses gave you a certificate of divorce, but for the beginning it was not so. Because the beginning is what? Christ and the church is forever. So, what Jesus is saying is that salvation is eternal. Eternal. Unreversible. Hallelujah. So, what Moses did by giving them that certificate of divorce is to show that they were unbelieving. You understand? Is to show that they were unbelieving.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what Jesus will teach marriage as will be what the Lord has joined together. And he says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one spirit we're baptized into one body. One spirit. One we're baptized. One spirit. Union. That joining. Amen. Amen. So we can say the church is in Christ complete. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the source. We came from him. Hallelujah. 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 The church is glorious.
The church is not looking for glory. The church of Christ is glorious.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The church of Christ is seated in heaven.
He's not trying to sit. The church of Christ is not God. Lift me higher, let me stand by faith on heaven. Stable ground. A higher place. Where I am found, oh Lord, my plant my feet on higher ground.
No, the church is in heaven. Glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Ephesians 5:27, what we just read, he said to present them without spot or wrinkle.
May the church of Christ is without spot nor wrinkle. will this church of Christ be without spot nor wrinkle? There is no sin. The church does not have sin problem.
There's a problem in the church of Christ. The church of Christ has sin problem. It's you that is your brain that have sin problem. The church of Christ is without spot nor wrinkle. Hallelujah.
So the church of Christ is in God, is in Christ complete, without spot nor without wrinkle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want you to see yourself this way. I want you to see believers this way.
We are brethren.
I want you to see believers this way. We are in Christ united. Amen. Amen. We are in Christ united. We are in Christ united.
Yes. Hallelujah. We are united in Christ.
This is not man united. No. That can't win trophy. No. We are in Christ united. Wow. Hallelujah. We are in Christ united. Man united is red devils. We have no communion with devils. We are in Christ united.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can you be a pastor and you are commanding?
What communication has led to that?
Darkness.
How can you be a man of God and you are a gunner fan?
He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Hallelujah. But we are Christ united.
Amen. Amen.
We are seated in heaven. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When the Bible uses wine, use this wine figuratively. Don't be drunk with wine. When it's essence, but be full with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
You're
a Chelsea fan, you are full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every believer is united in Christ.
We are one in Christ.
Yeah.
We are one in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. We are one in Christ. Just thank Him. We are one in Christ. We are families
in Christ.
Oh, glory to God. Let us thank Him.
I will receive a sign today concerning this.